Emmanuel?
Here.
Hudson?
Here.
Sutton?
Here.
Banks? Anderson?
Here.
All right. We need a motion to approve the agenda.
So move.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Very good. We need a motion for the approval of the minutes of June 11, 2018.
So I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Very good. We'll move on now to public participation. Is there any public participation this evening? Richard, yes.
Yes, there are new policies at the nursing home that don't allow residents to leave the sidewalks of the facility or be beyond eyesight for the first time in the 7 years I've been here. I've always been able to move around freely, and this is, you have to think of what it's like for someone with a capable mind to be locked in the facility. I can't go to the grocery store, the gas station, or go out and visit my kids, or anything. And if I wanted to get on the ADA bus, I have to find somebody who will travel with me. I don't have that available. I'm a stranger in this town, pretty much. I have a brother that works during the day, and so it's very difficult for a resident here. I can't speak just for myself, but there are other residents who don't have as much flexibility even as I do. Further, we are locked in from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. We're locked out of the courtyard, even though it's plenty safe. We're not able to get anywhere from there to the outside. Excuse me. We can't escape. We're not going to run away. We're not going to throw Molotov cocktails or something. We aren't going to harm other residents. We aren't going to harm ourselves. We haven't harmed ourselves in 7 years that I've been there. I haven't seen anybody harmed in that courtyard in 7 years. In the evening or nighttime that I've been there. And it's just, I've been in tears thinking about this. It's robbing my mental health is killing me, literally. And I think it's a little bit too oppressive. And think about this, will you please? Because honestly, you have to think about a resident here who can't leave and do the things that you've got to do. They're looking at the walls 24/7. They listen to getting broken up right now. I was talking to my boys yesterday, visiting from Colorado, and I was crying in front of my boys. And I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. And I sure didn't want to cry one time I'd seen him too. But this is how much it hurts.
Right.
And I'm a man with faculty, and there are other people with faculties, and I don't see anyone in the halls roaming around who wants to go outside at 9 or 10 o'clock. You know, and it's just ridiculous. It's not hot out there, and not at 10 o'clock.
Explain a little, maybe to show like.
Excuse me, I'm speaking.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a little bit rude.
I'm sorry, I thought you were not.
No, I'm not.
Okay, no problem.
And the other thing about not being able to leave the sidewalk, you know, there's no shade on the sidewalk. I could, you know, stay out a little longer if I were able to find shade of the trees out on the fire lane. Out, there's a little alcove out by my corner I used to sit in all the time. There was shade there. I found another spot that I always had shade. It was cool. It was sheltered from the rain. I always called my nurses, if, you know, periodically, and told them where I was. There wasn't a policy telling me to do that. I did that on my own. I felt responsibility. No one had to tell me, call and tell your nurses where you. I did that on my own. There was no policy. Because I'm a thinking person, and I feel a responsibility to those who are entrusted with my care. That's the type of person I am. And now I'm saddled with these straps around my chest. And they're killing me. They are. And if it continues, and I don't know why we're doing this, in the last X days of this administration, are we trying to do something for the next administration? What? I don't know. But it's infuriating and it's hurtful.
Okay.
And I would just like you to think very hard about what it's doing to the mental health of some very, very thoughtful people.
All right, thank you. We'll address the some action item on this under other business. That would be some direction from the board to staff to better inform us. Okay, we'll get to that and we'll have an opportunity for some input. Thank you for all that. Is there any other public participation? Petrie.
I'm Patsy Petrie. I had no idea Richard was going to talk about that, but I will share one time when I was here for a meal and sitting at a table with individuals who cognitively intact, such as Richard, but mobile, not having to rely on a wheelchair. And one of them said how they had requested to have raisin bread. And it wasn't happening. And so they were able to call a cab, went to Meijer's, bought two loaves of the bread, came back and brought it in every breakfast in the dining room. If in fact, she'll explain this policy, but from what I hear from Richard, this individual could not have done that. And there was no response from dietary. I find that confusing, shall we say. That wasn't what I came to talk about. I came to talk about, so it's on the record, about some effects and figures that the treasurer and the auditor have provided as of the 20th of June. I do appreciate how difficult things are in a transition with the home, but I'm a county board member, and so I have to be concerned about the long-term financial aspects on the county. So I will read this into the record. It isn't very long. As of the 31st of May of this year, the home owes $5.4 million to its vendors and lenders. The home owes a total of $2.4 million to outside vendors, and the home owes a total of $3 million to Champaign County. Of the $5.4 million total, the home owes to the vendors and lenders, 3.8 million is debt that is over 90 days, and 1.6 million is debt over 180 days. The Champaign County Nursing Home has loans outstanding to Champaign County General Fund totaling basically $1.4 million as of the 20th of June of 2018. Champaign County has an open emergency line of credit with the general fund to cover all payroll shortfalls. $115,000 has been expended and repaid as of the 20th of June. And in August, we're into another three pay period month. And $10,000 had to be loaned to cover the last staff pay. And then the last comment from the treasurer and the auditor: the home continues to struggle to meet the obligations to private vendors. The home currently owes eight outside vendors at least $100,000 each and have some committed to payment plans to get the debts repaid. Several others have gone to settlement agreements. The disconcerting aspect of all of these facts and figures is some vendors are seeking legal action against the home to force payment, and that will come to the county board. And so I think this board of directors needs to have this reality check of exactly what the financial pressures are on the county at this point in time. And as best as I have just recently learned, that depending on how the due diligence moves along and all the checking that has to go on with the due diligence, potentially closure on the nursing home will not happen till the end of September, which adds additional financial burden on the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public participation? Seeing none, do any of the board members have any communications that they wish to share?
I'd just like to support what you said, but I want to make sure we address public comments later on in today's meeting. And
yes.
Then secondly, I wanted to make sure I sent an email out to everyone, but I want to make sure you know that the Medicaid reimbursement rate has been increased by SAK management for the nursing home. Again, it was increased in April and then again in July, so we're getting $8.5 more for the $9 more than we were in January of 2018 per Medicaid day, and that's about $9 more than we were in January 2017 too. I have a little summary of it here. I did not make enough copies for everybody.
And you said you had sent email?
I just sent it out today, yes. But I think it's a $200,000 to $300,000 annual impact, depending on, of course, what, how many Medicaid days we have. And it's one of the things that had been identified a couple years ago that we needed to work on, and we've now got some success with it thanks to SAK management. And I just, that doesn't, of course, solve our financial problems, but helps move in the right direction.
Sure.
And so, like, honestly, I'd like to thank SAK management for doing that, and I think we should be well aware that there's that potential and that improvement.
Very good. Thank you for sharing that.
I have a question.
Yes.
How much of that increase is due to the add-on for the daily restorative care?
It's all part of the CMI. So it's part of, that's the teaching.
I thought there was a specific amount added on every day. No?
For what?
For restorative care.
It goes into the whole rate. It's all part of doing restorative care and doing all of the nursing care improvement and the way it's being focused and part of the MDS and the whole thing. It's I'm not sure I understand your question of extra restorative.
Well, it was my understanding that by converting from 5 days a week for restorative care to being the ability to provide it 7 days a week, that you would get a daily add-on. I know years ago that was how it worked, but maybe it's changed different now. So if not that, what do you attribute the increase to?
Teaching and training and teaching the staff how to do it correctly and actually increasing
and the documentation of it.
Documentation to get your data.
Actually doing it and then documenting correctly. Because if it's not documented correctly,
right, you don't get the credit.
And you're not, so it's just a constant reviewing of that documentation, going back and retraining.
And the care has to be provided too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And we'll move on then to management update to May financials.
Okay. So we're looking at May. Census was one patient less than April and 2.7 below budget originally. But it's a huge accomplishment considering all the publicity about the upcoming sale. But the beauty of this all is that revenue is 51.4 thousand over budget for most of the part due to the recognized revenue on the approvals in public aid pending accounts that we were able to get through by following up more judiciously and having calls every single week and really overseeing the accounts receivable. So year-to-date revenue is 38,000 above budget. So that's really great. Administration expenses are over professional services due to the cost reports that have to get filed for Medicaid. And that's Plant Moran, who was our accountant this year. Those were fees that happens with all cost reports. And recruitment fees of $8,000, which was to secure our interim administrator. And collection fees of 3.6 thousand, which we had to pay to our outside vendor who has been collecting money, but we're collecting more money.
Old monies.
So this year we had, this month we had no allocated invoices from the county maintenance department, which I'm wondering if they're behind, because usually we get those. So we're below budget for that. We settled a medical staffing vendor at a discounted rate for services provided in 2016. So what was the discount floor on that?
$79,000.
That was the total amount that we paid?
That's discount.
Oh, that was the discount. So we got $79,000 back. And the actual acuity on the PT, OT, and speech has gone up because it's for the actual services that we're providing for the increase in care, as well as the census numbers have increased. Food is $11,000 lower than April due to better expense management that we were able to put into place. And that trend will continue in months to come. And we were $3,000 over budget on the gas for the adult daycare because I think we had 2 months of credit card charges that were in there. So, and then the ARD is $30,000 below budget because nursing labor is covering the wing. It's under nursing services. I think every month that occurs. So net income is $135,000.3 over budget in May and $178,300.3 year to date. So that's a positive, really nice positive number. Good trend.
Any questions on the finances?
As long as we're talking about finances, I know that you sent out, Jack, a notice about the cash flow, covering the cash flow. So my understanding is that was a loan through the general, maybe the general fund, and was that paid back then, just to cover payroll?
Yes.
Was it a timing issue?
Yeah, it was just a
It was a $10,000 advance due to the holiday. You had to be covered a day earlier than usual, and that's very much what
so
it was repeated right the next day.
Any other questions? I have some. Wait for you first.
Go ahead.
Okay. What did you say, Susie, about food services?
So food services last month was over. We found out that director, I think, was providing some extra food to some of the department heads, and we were able to discuss that, and that was not supposed to happen. So we were able to now control them better, and now they're within budgetary guidelines.
General reflect.
Yeah, it was a little over prior to that.
You have addressed the additional cost for administration, if I caught that right, for the month of May, but services were down $54,000 on cost expenses.
Just on for the staffing agency. We got a discount on the total balance due to them. They were willing to accept discounted amount if they were paid out.
So this is a one-time thing?
It's a one-time
thing.
Okay. Oh, so that income went into the nursing service, so that for all?
That's why it's a dramatic decrease. Occupational therapy, speech therapy, and Alzheimer's and related disorders, we had spent less on each of those. Physical therapy, about $4,500 less. Occupational therapy about $7,000 less than was budgeted. And just for that month, then Alzheimer's and related disorders, $31,000 less.
That's right.
And why did they decrease?
Well, Alzheimer's and related disorders is consistent with prior months because most of the staffing is part of the nursing department expenses. That's how the staffing was done from January on. The nursing staff covers that wing as well.
Okay.
As far as therapy departments, first of all, the Medicare census is slightly less than budgeted, and acuity is less complex. So usually that's what leads you to
thank you. Good explanations. My last question is, when I look at the operating income for adult daycare, I see it's about $17,250. When I look at expenses for adult daycare, it's about $19,000. So that difference would be a loss of about $1,000 or about
$1,500. That's right. We got two credit card statements for the gas expense for the van. It was one dated May. First one was May 3rd. The first, I don't remember exactly the last one, but the first one was May. So that's why it was the timing of the expense presentation.
What was the value of those expenses?
I think $1,100 for the May 1st.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
This financial statement would not be including the non-cash item of like depreciation, or does it?
It is included. It's a accrual basis. That includes depreciation expense and reserve bad debt.
Where is that?
Under our administration.
Under administration. So that's something that income
amount.
Really is a $42,000 positive net income.
Mm-hmm.
Not just cash, but.
No, it's a accrual basis financial statement.
It's a positive thing.
Yeah, it's improving.
If there's no other questions, we'll move on to the chair's report. I don't have anything. So we'll move on to other business. We'll go ahead and start with what I had suggested. This new policy and its restrictions, if you will, as Richard describes it. What I would like is staff to have the availability to communicate to us about what this new policy is, its purpose of its implementation, and maybe any hiccups they may have had since its implementation, which is typical of the policy. But I am concerned about Richard being restricted. I don't necessarily want this thing draw out for a month. So I don't want to get into the weeds of this just yet. This is something that I think staff, we have to allow them to work it out. But at the same time, we have a responsibility as the board to make sure that our residents are being best served. And I would like to at least open up for some discussion this evening with staff in a narrow sense, just with regard to Richard. I understand that these policies will have a greater, they were intended for a greater good and an audience, if you will, or you know, the greater population here. But sometimes we can do things that are best for many and not realize that it may be impacting a few adversely. I think Richard is unique in that regard here. He does have a mobility.
And do you want to discuss that now? I think Gina had some ideas on that as far as the safety. And then the weather, we've been watching the temperatures, and when the temperature gets up to a certain degree of heat, we're sort of restricting the courtyard, that anyone that wants to go out to the courtyard, they have to let someone know so that they're monitoring that.
So that's part of the plan of action that was submitted last year. So that part is what public health actually has also jointly agreed upon, and that plan of correction for the heat-related issues. Not sure about the other issues that we can talk about.
Well, just for the dialogue purpose of this, or the deliberative process of it, I recognize the need for restricting access to the courtyard, for example, because of what had happened here. And that was involving a dementia unit where we don't have patients who, or residents who, we have residents such as Richard who are in, at their full faculties and can make decisions for themselves. And
support completely what you said in terms of that our job as the board to figure out how to fix it, and there are policies that need to be implemented that go kind of beyond what we know, and I think further discussion with the staff and understanding that's a good idea, but in addition to that, I think we have to rectify the situation for Richard. I mean, as a board, we have to say, okay, right, something has to happen to change this for Richard. Not just because he's Richard, but because here.
Well, for
all the Richards,
right,
in the home.
Right, but right, there are exceptions.
A perfect example. Right. There's got to be some exceptions.
Yeah. And I think we need to hear from Gina. Gina,
yeah,
maybe
you have
something
to
say.
Wait a month.
Yeah. Well, we found out that not only Richard, but some residents were leaving the property unsupervised. And we need to always, because of the type of setting we have, we need to make sure our residents are safe. Generally, somebody's with them if they leave the property. As I explained, if something was to happen, you fall over, even if you have your cell phone, if it flies or something like that happens, there's not a very simple solution, except for supervision is needed. What Richard's saying is he would like to leave the property unescorted whenever he would like without time limits as well. So because of certain safety concerns as well with the smoking, we had to relook at the policy, and we had to when you go out front, if the courtyard was locked for heat advisory or something, it would be a compromise to at least go to the front where you could still be supervised. And that's, you're right, there is no shade really there that is an issue, although this happens, like, we had to do it for 2 days, we had to lock down because of the heat advisory, and you know it has been very, very hot. So that's where we stand. I am willing to look at it again, as long as we are all safe, be safe, and you know, I would leave it at that. It's more of a safety concern. I did offer with regards to Richard to have him sign out so we could at least check on his status every hour if he did want to go. And that would be something so somebody knows when he goes out. If he was to go to the nurse and report, then somebody needs to be checking when he does go out. And that's what we did say. But with regards to it, it's just purely a safety concerns, the smoking hours and the weather advisory and the planet correction that we have had, that was instituted already last year at this time, and because now the weather, that incident happened last year at this time. It happened in June. So we went back and looked at what the plan of correction was, and that's why, you know, it's a new thing to everybody, but it's really not new. It's been there since last year, and it was an accepted plan of correction at that time.
Well, maybe we can look at those few residents that would fall in that category that are alert and oriented, and then see how we can do safety things. And I understand about the phone, and maybe it could be that somehow when you're out, if Richard would be acceptable to have the phone around your neck. So if you did fall, it would still be within distance that you could call someone. But certainly, I think anytime anyone leaves the building, they should sign out and let us know when they've left.
That's actually the law.
Come back.
That's part of the law. And I think you know that, Richard. And I don't think anybody, just by hearing all this, so I didn't even really know what this was about until now listening. I don't think anybody has any issue with taking away your ability to go out or to do anything. I think everybody's concerned for your safety. So I think that's something that a discussion that you can mutually have with staff and put it in your care plan, actually.
I don't have a problem with signing out.
Okay.
I did that and I called every hour. I didn't have you can ask, I did all that.
Okay.
Is someone still restricting your going out then? Oh, okay.
No, the courtyard's locked at 9 o'clock, whether it's hot, cold, doesn't matter, it's locked at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's so dark out there at 9 o'clock.
No, they're lights.
But I think it's still, it's shadowy. Is it someone would fall
out
there?
You can see everything out there.
So, Richard, the issue really was public health, really, together.
That darkness?
No, it was just an issue that there is no one staffed out there, and it doesn't matter who the person is. Even if I went out there, and if something happens while someone is out there, and it could happen to me, let alone anybody, there's nobody there that can hear or see what's going on. And I think that was what the concern was, because there is nobody assigned to that area, and we can't have a staff member just assigned to the outside. But again, in your situation, I think that what we should do is sit and talk, and that should all be part of the plan of something that's acceptable for you as well. But that also meets the safety. We're concerned for your safety. So we just have to mutually come up with a plan.
What I said to Gina as well is, you can get, if someone would let me out, I can get in the doors. They don't lock from the outside. The handle still works.
I know, but what happens if you choke, or what happens if you
You can do that every day.
Right,
anywhere.
But somebody is in the facility.
No,
seeing
they aren't going to see me in every corner. I could be in a corner somewhere and choke. Come on, you can create a scenario for me being able to choke and die any day, anywhere.
Yeah. Well, again, I think what we got to do is sit down. We should sit down and talk and see what works for both.
Please, I'm so horrified. Give me a little scenario about the courtyard. Because you can create a scenario about anywhere in this facility. I can be in my room with the door closed and dive for somebody else. Guess that.
All right, but again, we can sit and talk. That's what public health agreed to with the facility. So again, I think we're going to have to go back and revisit if there is an issue with that. That was a huge issue for public health to approve. So again, we're willing to sit and talk, Richard. It's nothing against you at all. We'll work something out that's acceptable for you. Okay?
I promise. I consulted with someone else in the field who said another home used walkie-talkies as a possible. You were saying the phone, but you know, I was thinking about that because it's
And walkie-talkies can fall away too.
True.
Right. I think that we'll work something out.
Yes, absolutely.
With each individual.
How about the thing? I'd fall in and I'd be able to share lights on his chair.
Absolutely. He's trying to come up with an unusual answer, but that's what we'll do. We'll come up with something. You'll be a part of that. Okay.
I think that's the perfect solution. I mean, you're gonna have nobody wants to jeopardize Richard or anybody else's safety, and we don't want to have any repetition of the problem we've had.
Right.
But we can't have.
No, we mutually agree to something, and something that you're part of that you agree to.
Right.
Okay. Nobody wants to do that.
I just want to say a few things.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, I think the situation Richard is describing is ridiculous, frankly. And, he's not, he shouldn't be viewed as being confined here. He should have his free will to come and go as he is able. I think there's some parallels between situation here, though, the balance between freedom on the one hand and safety on the other hand, that people experience in parenting. You know, you want your child to be safe, but you don't want to lock them in a room and, you know, surround them with bubble wrap and so forth so that nothing can happen to them. What kind of life is that? You don't want your child to do that. So you have to come up with some kind of reasonable balance. Frankly, the balance that seems to be common these days is a lot more on the side of safety for children than it ever was when I was young. I mean, it's ridiculous in some ways how different it is. But I think that if it's looked at as achieving an appropriate balance between safety and freedom, then I think and who's to be the judge of that? Well, Richard has to be the judge of it to some extent, and the staff has to be the judge of it in another extent. So let's see what you can work out, but please do something. This is not a penitentiary. It's not, you know, we're not locking up people here.
I think everybody agrees, so we're all in agreement.
I have a quick question, too.
Yes.
I know, because I've talked to Richard in the past, I know he likes to go out in that field over there and watch the kids play soccer. And I don't know if that's defined as leaving the property. But it may be a harebrained idea, but I'm wondering if Richard's physician could possibly be of assistance to you and put in some sort of doctor's order for mental health in the care plan to provide some protection to the nursing home.
It's a good idea.
So that you'd have that to fall back on. If, let's say, public health drove up one day to do their inspection and Richard was off in Timbuktu, then you would just whip out the doctor's order saying that for his mental health, he's going to lose his mind, according to his physician, and if you don't let him go watch the soccer game. I mean, I'm making a joke, half joke.
No,
but I'm just thinking perhaps you could get some doctor's orders based on psychological issues that might give you some protection.
So from a safety perspective, as I drove up today, I'm just going to say this, but there's a slope.
There is, yeah.
Okay, and I saw someone wheeling you up, Richard, in that wheelchair, and the first thing I said was, oh my God, who is that? He's going to fall. Somebody was out there lifting you up. Yeah.
It was Richard's brother, because I already talked
to him. That's true.
I tell you, I freaked out. I didn't know it was you. I had no idea who it was. I said, what is going on? If that's a staff member, I'm going to kill him. Okay? So, I had no idea what was happening today, and I just saw that. So, that really scared me, and that was in a controlled environment. But what if you're, I didn't know who that was, but what if he stepped back, and he was moving you up the hill like that? That kind of scared me.
Number one, it wasn't a hill. It's a slight incline.
Yeah.
And number two, I was going up at an angle, and it's just that last little lip
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
I noticed it.
But you're at a distance, and you don't see what's going on.
Okay.
And yes, it was my brother.
Yes, well, as long as you were safe, that's all I worried about.
Susie had done it yesterday, Sunday.
Okay.
We've done it twice today.
Well, we'll certainly address that. I think I'll be here tomorrow, Gina, and we can meet with social service, meet with Richard, and let's just come up with something that's pleasing for Richard and something that we feel like we're within the regulatory requirements. And
just what's safe for everybody and what's good for you. So.
Well, lots of good comments, lots of good input. I think a good resolution will be found working with Richard. And Evan, you mentioned parents, kind of restricting their kids too much. There's actually a movement out there called Free Range Parenting.
I know.
I was surprised to allow your kids to ride their bikes to school to be normal, as opposed to what's our society's done. So good. I look forward to hearing back. I don't think we need to hear back before next month. It sounds like staff will be responsive and observe Richard's rights to his freedom of movement as best he can under the circumstances.
It would be really nice, Jack. I agree with you, but like we used to have the flash updates. You meet tomorrow,
I think we should
here's where we are now.
Right.
Just because everybody feels so strong.
Then a good summary of the.
I would agree.
You don't need all the details. Just a good summary.
Choice
would agree.
Very good.
I have confidence that we'll work something.
I do too.
Yes.
But everybody then would be able to rest easy.
Does anyone have any other business? If not, then the next meeting will be Monday, August 13th at 6:30 p.m. And I'll adjourn. Yes?
Could we put on the agenda for that meeting an update on sort of where things stand with due diligence and the whole
No. We cannot. I hear Ms. Petrie out there. She's correct. That's beyond the scope of this board, although what you want is a briefing, kind of how's it going.
Right.
So we can invite Ms. Busey to give us a briefing on how
we must be able to
process.
The due diligence, but we ought to be able to know what the timeline is, how things are going.
I think in general, anything she might give the county and the board itself and public.
I'm not asking for the results of due diligence. I'm asking for the same kind of
thing
we give to the board.
She'll have to be careful of what she says publicly. Yes.
May I just give a comment? I sent a message to Ms. Busey just asking some general terms, and she told me in no uncertain terms that there would be no discussion about anything until things are finalized.
Yeah, I'm looking for the same kind of information you just provided. I'm only looking for publicly available data. If she would update the county board, I can't see any reason why the nursing home advisory board
couldn't be
but
made
she does
with
not
it.
But she has, I said, but she couldn't give us any more than she could give them.
Right.
Tammy, let me ask this then. Can you get a hold of Ms. Busey, tell her the desires?
Yep.
Brought up by Kathy.
I can.
And see what she's able to do, if anything.
And this is not a request for what have they asked for, what have we replied, and what are the sticking points. This is really a general, here's how things are going, here's how the timetable looks now. Whatever she, as you say, could publicly state to another board.
And to me, my reply to that would be, what does our need to know?
Right, but...
What would that change in our operation, our responsibilities? I'd probably say, well, I guess I don't. But if she can, please ask her if she can.
I will.
If she can't, then you can relay that back to us when the agenda comes out next month, because it'll be absent, obviously.
And then, to the extent that it affects, not that we're really doing any program planning, but as was discussed here in terms of what's the financial impact on the home currently, what should we be looking forward to in the next couple of months? I think that is within the scope of this board.
We do get those from the treasurer and the auditor, our monthly meetings, and Pat. That's it, just give us one. But I'm sure at our next meeting here this month, both of those persons will come up and they will say, don't give us the spreadsheet presentations again. Here's what we owe our vendors, here's, you know.
I think that in terms of how it impacts what the nursing home is able to do is definitely within the scope of this board.
Tammy, you'll relay all that?
I will.
That all being said, thank you for bringing it up. Meeting's adjourned. Evening.